And we got 75 slides to get through.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be fast, though, I promise.
Blame the teacher.
Yes, my parents have doctorate degrees in education. You can blame them. All right. Some of the things I've already gone over is that if you have questions, I'm going to be stopping throughout to kind of ask, hey, does that concept sit well with you? But I've had a lot of Q&A time at the end. We're all coming from different industries and trying to put different things out into the world. And so feel free to take notes on your phone. As I've said before to people in this room before, if you're here, I assume you're here to learn and not to play Tetris. So I won't be offended if you're taking notes. All right? And with that, real quick, can I just get a show of hands so that I can have a kind of industry vibe of the room? Who here is trying to put something out just specifically like in the indie publishing area? Show of hands. All right, so about a third of the room. Who here is trying to get into the gaming industry? And if you have both, you can keep your hand up. All right, awesome. And then everyone else is just kind of veritable. All right, awesome. So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to start with a little bit about me and why I might be worth listening to. I'm a professional marketer. I have a degree in marketing. I have 5+ years of experience, not counting the crazy stuff I was doing in high school, which we'll get to in a second. I currently act as a search engine optimization specialist, which is big wig talk for I help people get found on Google. All right. On the side, though, I've successfully launched 21 micro Kickstarters, raising over $10,000. I've also helped my wife launch her book as an indie author with starting from absolutely zero. She had no reason for people to give her money. Raised almost $7,000 just recently. All right, on TikTok, I've managed to gain 3.5 million views and 15,000 followers just talking about Dungeons & Dragons. Facebook group at 7,500, Twitter followers at 3,000. YouTube, I'm just posting the TikToks to YouTube, and I've gotten 1,500 subscribers, almost a million views. And way back in the day when I was in high school, I had an anime TikTok, an anime YouTube channel that got 29 million views. I made exactly $0 because I was a dumb high schooler and I didn't know you can make money. Honest to God, Patreon wasn't a thing when I was in high school. All right, so all this to say, I've learned a lot throughout the years. I've also started the Tabletop Business Mastermind Group, which is a Discord group where I do exactly this. I take my professional stuff that I've learned, I take stuff that I see other people doing, I put in the group. Go ahead and drop that right here. That's fine. Thank you. All right. You will get, at the end of this, will be a nice little QR code where if you want, you can give me your email and I will send you all these slides, the recording, all right, which I need to make sure I've started, and an invitation to that group. I did start the recording. I'm so professional. All right. And so why I'm here, which is the last bullet point, is essentially, one, I have the experience and the ability to help people, but two is that I've seen so many good projects die before they've even started because people put a lot of work into building the product, the project, the service, and not nearly as much work as the marketing because they either were intimidated by it or they just didn't know or they thought that my product is so good I put it out to the world. And then the product, despite it being good, doesn't get attention. And so it doesn't even get a yes or no, but it feels like a no. It's discouraging. The product or service or whatever you're trying to put out to the world fails, and you almost never get back up from that. Or it takes a long time to get back up from that. And so I've seen a lot of great creative people, a lot of great creative projects, not get off the ground and stay on the ground purely because they didn't have a certain tool set or a certain mindset. And I'm here to try and help that happen as little as possible so that people can actually get in front of the market and the market can tell them yes or no. Hi, welcome, sit anywhere. If you have a ticket, you can give it to me later. If you don't have a ticket, it's a free event and I don't care. All right? So, what we're gonna go over today is how content marketing works, how to make it work for you, some tips and tricks, some very specific tactics, and I got a fun little thing to show you guys. And then a live Q&A where I'm gonna try and pad most of my value. So we are gonna go quickly, but I'm gonna stop and you can ask questions there and at the end. Take notes as we go. All right, so first off, what is content marketing? Quickly, this is a 101, so I'm gonna be very general with some of the stuff we're going over today. Content marketing starts with creating content. This can be a blog, this can be a video, this can be a singular tweet. You're then going to use that content to gain attention. All right, and you're going to engage with that attention so that eventually you can leverage the attention. What is content marketing 101 is just this. All right, but we're going to dig a lot more into it, of course. All right, so I want to also kind of dislodge some ideas that you might have preconceived about content marketing, what it means, what it is and is not. So what it is about creating value for others. That value can be information, it can be entertainment, it can be anything that they believe is good for them. All right, it's not all about you. All right, even the lifestyle brands you see on Instagram who take a picture of my cat, my dog, my baby, my food, my body, whatever, it's not actually about them. It's about how their pictures of their life make the person feel. The value they get from the lifestyle brands is that it's aspirational, it's inspirational, all right? Or at the very least, it's entertaining, even if it secretly makes them feel bad, okay? It's adding some sort of value. It's at least a distraction. What it is about is that it's about building trust, positive, regular interactions, and building a reputation, which all adds up to having a brand. Okay, what it's not is saying the same thing 8,000 times until someone hears you, which is the other mistake I often see of, well, content marketing is just me saying buy my stuff until people buy my stuff. It's not that. What it is it's a foot in the door. It's an icebreaker. It's a reason for people to pay attention to you. It's essentially soft networking at a giant cocktail party, all right? What it's not is sales, but it can lead to it. But again, just kind of tying back into here, it's not you shouting out into the world for people to buy your stuff. All right? It's also not a sneaky trick to take advantage of people, even though people try and make it that way sometimes. When you do make a sale, it is not because you took advantage of someone. You built trust with them. You gave them value. You've had an exchange with them before, completely for free, where you put in all the work. So when they do make the sale, please be proud of it and don't feel like you're tricking people, okay? They're buying from you because they trust you, okay? Because you've done something for them or you've been recommended by a friend. Now we're gonna get into a little bit about exactly how it works, okay? Very simply, step one, you're going to create content, all right? Step two, you're gonna distribute content. I'm gonna expand on all of this in a second. This is an outline. All right. Step three, you're going to gain attention and engage with it, which is the step that a lot of people miss out on. Okay. Step four, you're going to leverage that attention toward action. There's three different major ways to leverage it, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. All right. Then five, the hardest part that we're going to touch on throughout the slides, is to be consistent and do it without burning out. Okay, burnout is probably the number one killer of any content marketing strategy. All right, so now that we know the basic outline of how it works, we're gonna go through those same things that we just went through, and we're gonna see about how to make it work for you. So creating content. The number one mistake that people make when they decide to start doing content marketing, hey, welcome, come on in, all right, is that they try to do everything all at once, everywhere, all the time. That's gonna lead to burnout. That's the number one thing that leads to burnout. You do not need to be, and I'm gonna show you the best way if you are able and have the full-time capacity to be everywhere all the time, all at once. I'll show you how to do it the best way possible. But you want to start with one or two platforms you know, and then one that you're interested in. For me, this was Facebook and Twitter, and then it was TikTok. All right, TikTok was the one I was interested in. But if you're on a bunch of platforms that you don't understand, that you don't know how to interact with there differently on Instagram versus Twitter, which are very different atmospheres, all right? You're gonna make bad content. You're going to be juggling too many. And instead of growing a couple of, think about it like trying to farm when you only got one shovel, okay? You've got one shovel, you can't run a farm. You could run 1 to 3 flower beds, all right? So don't spread yourself too thin when creating content and choosing platforms. Number two, work from your strengths. A lot of people get into their mind, well, all the attention is on this. Whether that's video, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch, I need to have a gaming stream, I need to have a live channel, I need to have a blog, I need to have a podcast, but I'm not good at that. I'm not good at podcasts. I'm not good at, I can't do what Zach does. I can't be up here talking to people. That's scary. That's okay. I suck at blogging. Okay? I cannot write a long-form piece of content in 1 hour, which is approximately the only time I have in any given day to create content. Okay? My strength is this, and I build from my strength. All right? Instead of wishing you had a different strength, please do yourself a favor of accepting where your strengths are and build from there. Okay? Number three, do what you can when you can with what you have. This is where I make things a little personal. Okay? When I was building my Twitter, all right, I was working 50 hours a week through two jobs. I was a full-time college student, and I had a kid. All right? I did not have time. I tweeted one thought a day, every day, and tried to reply to two other tweets once a day, every day. I did that when I was on the toilet at work. Okay? Because that's the time I had to myself. I was either sleeping, doing all that other stuff, or I was on a toilet. All right? So do what you can with what you have, because what happened with the TikTok is I read those tweets 2 years later. I had all the content built up. All right? So whichever content you have, you can repurpose, and we're going to go over that in detail in a bit. Focus on sustainability, then quantity, then quality, because quality will come naturally. This is another mistake that happens, is that you say, okay, I'm going to have a YouTube channel. It needs to have lighting. It needs to be like Critical Role on crack. Okay? You don't. Okay? First of all, that's too much. Critical Role is already enough. All right? Secondly, you're not a production company. You probably don't have a bunch of voice actor friends. All right? You don't need to start up here. They didn't start up here. Okay? Start where you are. Quality will come naturally as you continue to put content out. My first TikTok sucked. Okay? But a couple hundred more, I started to be decent at it. And I still am. I'm not great. I don't do skits. I don't do dance. I haven't danced one step. Okay? I'm doing what I can with what I have, and I'm focusing on consistency. Because if I try to do that big thing, if I try to be Critical Role, I'm going to burn out. Because I'm going to be using all my resources to fit this ideal that I haven't worked up to, and I'm going to crash. All right? If you can't create, let's say you don't even have toilet time. When you're at work and you have toilet time, it's actually a nap. Okay? If you can't create, if you don't have the energy to put thoughts out into the world, I get it. I've had kids. Okay? I get it. Curate. What curate means is that, let's say Twitter is an easy one, all right, or Facebook. If you don't have the energy to put content, to make memes or videos or any of that, be a tastemaker. Be your audience. Be a person that collects really good content and puts it out into the world and shares it and interacts with it so that people can see you getting all this excellent content around you, and they'll know that, hey, following this guy, he's on all the best D&D stuff. He retweets it. She retweets it. She's got all the best My Little Ponies content on her feed. I'm going to follow her. And you're going to know the best content that performs on the best platforms for you, so that when you're ready to create, you'll have learned what works just by consuming it. All right? Now, before we get into the distribution of content, this is that first pause I'm going to take. Is any of this not sitting well with someone? Does anybody need an expansion? Awesome. So now we're going to get into content distribution. This is how to take what you have to make it go as far as possible. Quick notes before we get into this. I'm going to show you the most optimal way to do it. That is not the only way to do it. I don't do it the most optimal way, okay? This is the full-time job version, all right? And I'm going to show you that it's a lot more flexible than it first appears. So we're going to start with a blog, all right? You've got one blog, you're posting it once a week, and you post it on your WordPress blog. Well, the first thing you can do is you can just copy-paste that and make it a Twitter thread, all right? Let's say your blog is top 10 board game companies. Well, that's 10 tweets, all right? And you're going to tag each one of those companies. And they're going to retweet you because you're saying nice things about them, all right? Well, now you can make each of those, you can put quotes from your blog and put it over an image, all right? So let's say one of those top 10 things was Star Games has excellent components for sci-fi materials. And you're gonna put that over a nice little image, okay? Now you can post that all over there, okay? 5 to 10 images just from that blog. Next thing you're gonna do is create an infographic, all right? You had 10, all right? Make one infographic that's all those 10, or 2 infographics, 5 each. Now you've got 2 more pieces of content, all right? Now you're gonna take those images, all right? And you're gonna make quick slides or a GIF. You can do this very easily through something called Canva, which is a free version. Me and my wife have gone to the pro version. All right, very easy to create GIFs. If you don't know how to do something, by the way, YouTube is your teacher. All right, now if you slap music behind that, congratulations, you have a short. And you can post that everywhere. So you've done all this content from a blog, and you're not done. If you're doing things the most optimal way, you'll read it, and it's a podcast. All right, if you do it in front of a camera, you have a video. And then you can distribute that video out into 10, 5, 1-minute clips. All right, now this looks scary, doesn't it? All right, and when you first look at this, you think that the only way to do it is to start with a blog. Did I not mention already? I suck at blogs, okay? So I want you to understand that this is backwards compatible. Many people start with that 30-minute video. You chop up the 30-minute video, you pull the audio from it, you have a podcast, you transcribe the audio, you have a blog, and then you do all the stuff you did with the blog, all right? To kind of show you how this doesn't have to be done optimally, this is me. This is what I do. This is not optimal. This is me doing what I can with what I have. This is what I can do consistently. I have a Discord community. I do one-on-ones with my Discord community. All right, so that I can help them with their problems, so that I can do exactly what I'm doing here, and I make that a podcast. I don't do it on camera because everyone has a sucky camera. All right, and because people don't want to be on camera. All right, I tweet, I read the tweets. It's a short now. All right, and every now and then I make a meme. This is it. All right, so while you can do this, and it's important to know that you can do this, all right, so that when you finally have time, or if you are lucky enough to say, this is my job, I'm hustling, everything here you can learn from a 5-minute YouTube video, all right? You will not be able to do it all in one day when you're first learning. Start here and branch, do it one step at a time. Get good at each piece and then move forward. Any questions about this terrifying spider? No? Wonderful.
I appreciate that you acknowledge that it's terrifying.
I have practice. Okay. All right. So now we have created content. We have distributed content, and so we're getting attention. All right, and we're going to engage with it. All right, because that's how we keep the attention. That's how we gain followers. That's how people trust us. So we're going to reply whenever possible. I'm going to show you. I've had things that have gone viral, and I've had 200 comments. I don't have time to reply to all those. That's okay. Do what you can. All right? But if you have one comment, and it just says, cool, all right? Reply with a GIF. That's it. Reply. Why do you reply? One, it's good for the algorithm. Now there's 2 comments on that post. That's better. Looks more enticing. 2, they get a notification of that. Now you're in their notifications. They're more likely to follow you, and at the very least, you've built a positive interaction with them. That's branding, all right? 2, like everything. You almost definitely have the time to like every comment, even the 200 comments, okay? As long as they're not grilling you, which, by the way, will happen. The number one comment on my YouTube videos is just the word egg because of this. There's 12-year-olds on YouTube, surprise, all right? You don't have to reply or like that comment. All right, but everything else, all the cool's awesome. Tell them cool, tell them awesome. And if they give you something more, you can share the nice thing that they said. If it's something more than cool, if they say, no, I love Star Games, here's what I like about them. You can share that thought, all right? You can talk with them. Developing your voice is the act of, what's the persona, okay? Some of us play D&D in here, right? What's the character voice that you're going to interact with people online? It is okay if you don't know the answer to that question, but you need to have it in the back of your head. Are you sarcastic? Are you peppy? Are you way overly optimistic? All right? Have that in the back of your head and develop that, all right? And then talk to them about what they're interested in. So if they give you something more, cool, give them something more in return. If they say, I love Star Games because they have X, Y, and Z, You say, yeah, me too. What do you think about this company and the way they do this thing? All right, again, more interactions, more brand, more trust, more notifications, more comments. It's a conversation now. It's enticing to other people who will see the content to interact with it. All right, and yes, it does start one comment at a time. All right, so now we've gained attention and we're engaging with it. All right, now because this is a 101, I don't have the time, and we'll get into some of this in Q&A. I don't have time to go into all the ways to leverage attention. All right, that's its own presentation. But I am going to make sure that you know the different ways you can leverage attention. So the most common way is to sell to the attention. This is, I've gained attention through my content. Buy from me. I have an Etsy. I have a website. I have an e-commerce store. I'm doing an event. Okay, I have a book launch. Please go buy from me. That's selling to the attention, the audience that you've gained. The other option is to sell on the attention. That's what I do. Okay, I've gained attention. I've got 15,000 followers on TikTok. I might be worth listening to. Can I speak to you? All right, I'm doing it for free now, not forever. All right, the plan is that someday I'll get to have breakfast with the money I make from this. All right, and the last one is to sell access to the attention. You say, hey, because of my blog all about the top 10 gaming industries, all right, I have a lot of people paying attention to me. And if you want their attention, you give me money, and that's advertising. All right? So again, there's a million ways to execute on these. All right? Those are presentations in themselves. And if you have questions about this, we have a Q&A coming up. All right? Now we're going to talk about avoiding burnout. Again, number one killer of all content creators. Number one, I've said this before, I keep saying it because it's important. All right, this is like when they tell you in college, if a professor says it twice, it's on a test. Life will test you, okay? Underline, be consistent first. Be sustainable first, okay? Quality will come up naturally. Build up slowly. I showed you the web. Don't do that all in one day. You'll die, okay? It will kill you. Do one or two bubbles at a time. Build up slowly, okay? Reevaluate and reoptimize, all right? It's okay to scale back. If you tried the blogging thing, and then you said, I'm going to do the podcast now. I'm going to read it. I'm going to do the podcast. And then that takes too much out of you, and the other stuff starts falling apart, it is okay to scale back. Okay? That's not failure. That's learning. Okay? And if you refuse to learn the lesson, it will teach you a harder lesson. It will teach you failure. Because everything else will collapse. I've done it. All right? It's okay, you can pick yourself back up from it, but it's easier if you just re-optimize. Take a breath and rethink the way you're doing things, all right? Do everything purposefully, not reactionary, or because you think you're supposed to. The number one I run into this is that people want to build a website. For what? All right, you're gonna launch a Kickstarter in a year, you wanna build a website so you have people to drive to the website, but that you actually want to drive them to your Kickstarter or an email list. Driving people off their social media sites takes billion-dollar companies a lot of time and money. It's very difficult to do. Now, some of you are doing e-commerce, all right, and that's what you need to do. Great, you need a website, or you need to be on sites that there already are. But if you're trying to launch a Kickstarter, a board game, an RPG, do you need a Kickstarter or do you need a website, something worth working about, thinking about? Or do you just think you need one because you think you're supposed to have one? All right, so that people can find you. People are gonna find you online, all right? That's just one example. There's a lot of I think I'm supposed to's that people get wrapped up in and distract them from what's actually going to get their attention, okay? Have a bare minimum. Tweeting on the toilet, that's mine, okay? Things happen. People get sick, you get sick, your kids get sick, all right? Your car breaks down and you need to work extra hours and that was the time you were using to produce your podcast, okay? Set a bare minimum so that even if everything falls apart, you know the first thing you're gonna do when you have time, when you get over the hill of the hard moment that you're going through right now, all right? This is your anchor, all right? Now, any questions on avoiding burnout before I get into some exact tips and tactics? Awesome. So now, we're going to get into exact tips and tactics. The first one, my favorite one. So my favorite one is screenshotting your tweets. Talk to you about how I did tweets. Okay, I screenshot it with my phone. It's two buttons. You can Google how to screenshot on your phone. All right? I screenshotted this tweet to my Facebook. I posted it on a Facebook page, 84 likes. This one did really well on Twitter. Got 3,700 likes, 400 comments. And by the way, when you post from your Facebook page, and I'm going to show you how to do this before I let you go. When you post from your page and share into a group from the page, you can click this right here, and you can invite all 84 people. They will get a notification. There's a little invite button to follow your page. That's how I've grown my Facebook. That exact tactic. By the way, the screenshots that you take don't have to be particularly good, because this had 3 likes on Twitter, 80 on Facebook. There is a psychological factor at play here. This is the marketing degree talking. All right? When people see cross-platform content, whether that's on Facebook, it can be from Reddit, it can be from Tumblr, it can be from Twitter. You post your post, screenshot it, and put it there. It is now an image, which gets more interaction within an algorithm. All right? And number 2 is it seems more important. Oh my God, this came all the way from over there. Because originally when people brought content from over here, they were bringing in celebrities and politicians. So you automatically put yourself on a pedestal by just coming from another place. And I didn't hide this, by the way. This is Zach Applewhite posting about Zach Applewhite on Applewhite Games. All right? I'm not a subtle person. It still works. All right? So if it works for me and the idiot way I'm doing it, sure as heck work for you. All right? Which gets into the Facebook pages and groups. This is the easiest thing I've ever grown. Honest to God. YouTube takes forever. TikTok took 500 videos. All right, which actually isn't that much when you're only doing 7 seconds at a time. All right? But this is my wife's book. 1,100 followers. This one, 1.5. D&D Unlimited is the group that I share my page into. That's got 7,000. You can create a place for your audience to be just so that you can advertise to them. All right? And we're actually going to take a break real quick. I'm going to show you something. All right? This is the Facebook page. 30 minutes, let me refresh this. 30 minutes before this started, I shared a meme to this page. I posted a meme, okay? I shared that meme, this is the meme right here. Death by Owlbear, a cleric saving the druid who just wanted to pet it from death by Owlbear. All right, I shared that into 11 groups, all right? And so let's click here. All right, so these people are already following me. Oh, but I can invite some people. All right? And that's just on the page in the past 30 minutes. But here's the thing that we're going to go into the notifications here. I'm going to go, look at all these comments I have because I shared it into places that already have audiences. Let's go over here. I've got 38 more over here, and I can invite all of them. It's that easy! Okay? Literally, there's your hack. There's your tactic. There is the exact way to grow your Facebook. By the way, if you can't create, curate, steal my memes. They're all there. Go to Reddit, go to Twitter, hashtag D&D memes. Steal them, post them, share them, invite, grow. All right? Any questions?
You realize it sounds a lot like a pyramid scheme when you say that.
Yeah. An example, yes, I see a question.
Do you have a list of Facebook groups you recommend that have a lot of people interested in D&D and tabletop?
I've kind of figured that out naturally, so I'll happily show you the ones that I share into. All right, because I'm shameless. All right, back up, go here. All right, and I'll let you guys take a picture. Click the share button, share to a group, and then here's some of the number ones. All right, this is my group right here. But All Things D&D is a good one. Tiamat's Tavern, memes. If you got memes, it's a really big one right now, really hot right now. All right. I prefer to get this a little curated for you. The best thing to do is to search D and D. So these ones right here, let everyone take a picture. 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. D&D for these two. All right. Wonderful. Literally the easiest one. In another example, all right, if you can't create, curate. I saw this tweet. I liked it. I screenshotted it. I shared it myself. 400 likes. I don't like to invite people from a content that's not mine because I want them to connect with me, you know, from my content so that they recognize me and build my brand. You can, though. I just don't like to. Okay? So cross-platform polls. Oh my God, people love to talk about themselves. Did you know? All right. Polls are an easy way. By the way, what do you prefer to be at the table, player or dungeon master? Is this an intelligent question? Not particularly. Can you all right now get out your phone, tweet this out as a poll right now? Yeah. 494 votes. And some comments I can interact with and some retweets. This isn't big. This isn't smart. This isn't grand. This isn't Critical Role. This is a thought I had on a toilet. I tweeted it and I asked. I did that 20 times until people liked it. All right? Also, so ask questions. People love to talk about themselves. And then you can have a conversation with them and do all that stuff we just talked about. Next, offer to analyze people. All right? Give me your favorite coffee shop, and I'll tell you what kind of dwarf you are. All right? This one was, answer 4 questions, and I'll try to guess your Hogwarts house. Favorite Starbucks, favorite animal, childhood hero, and your favorite piece of toppings. 252 comments. I couldn't keep up. I had to stop. All right? For the sake of my children, they needed food. Okay? And fun fact, I only base my answers off the pizza toppings. If you like meat lovers, you were Gryffindor. Anyone who has pineapple was Hufflepuff, that's me. All right, veggie lovers, Slytherin. All right, and anyone who had green peppers or olives, no, veggie lovers I put as Ravenclaw. Anyone who had green peppers or olives was Slytherin. I had a 50-50% accuracy rate. All right, out of 4, that's good. I'm going to Vegas. All right, connect with your fellow creator community. Look left, look right. I know I'm doing it backwards. Talk to these people, okay? These are the most supportive. The gaming community especially is the most supportive community I've ever been a part of. I actually got started in poetry. When I was doing Kickstarters, I sold poems for $1. I got 10,000 followers on Instagram. The amount of people on my 10,000 follower Instagram who backed my poetry campaign, 0. The amount of people on the Twitter who backed my poetry campaign who were in the gaming space, didn't care about poetry, 2. And I only had 300 followers. All right, lesson learned, poets self-centered. All right, turns out it's a pretty introspective medium. All right, you don't really care about others that much. So I dropped poetry and I went into the gaming space. They're friendly, they'll support you. You can do things like talk to them, add insights, ask them questions, ask them what they're doing to connect. Join Facebook groups with them and participate. Things like Follow Friday on Twitter. Hashtag Follow Friday is where you just say all the people that you like on Twitter, and you say follow these people, and then I'll follow you. Most people aren't going to these and saying, oh, look at all these people I can follow. They're tagged in them, and they follow each other, all right? You can cross each other's audiences and support each other, and that's where your first, probably, if you're on Twitter at least, 300 followers are gonna come from. Again, Facebook was easier. I didn't need to connect with the creator community on Facebook to grow, because it was that easy, because of that hack. All right? Bonus concepts. All right. The 80-20 rule. Who here has ever heard of the 80-20 rule? Okay. Wonderful. I don't have to explain it to you. It applies to your content mix. 80% of your content, all right, at any given time should at least be entertaining or value-add. Only 20% can be about you and what you're selling, all right? Try to have a veritable mix, all right? So don't just tweet memes, throw a GIF in there, all right? Throw a video in there, retweet somebody, all right? This helps keep your feed veritable, which helps you from being stale. It also helps you learn new ways to communicate. If I hadn't, by the way, every now and then, I include anime into my D&D content, all right, just as a mix. Turns out, if you like D&D, you might like anime. There's like a 50-50 chance. All right? So mix it up a little bit. All right? What got you here won't get you there. This is a concept that a lot of people get stuck in. All right? What got you your first 300 followers is probably not going to be what gets you to your first 3,000 followers. It's probably not going to be what gets you to 100,000 followers. So going back to what I talked about earlier about re-optimization, rethinking things, trying new things, and mixing things up. All right? It's okay to reevaluate. There's never one right way to do things all the time. All right? I talked about this with some of the people in here before we started. Don't game the algorithm. Okay? You're not in the algorithm business. I work as a search engine optimization specialist. My job is to get people to show up on Google, and an algorithm that puts my job on the line every quarter because it changes. All right? If you focus your content on being engaging towards people, you'll win, because that's all the algorithm wants. All right? But if you're always trying to game the algorithm, it's a losing battle because it's always changing. People change a lot slower than an algorithm does. Hello, come on in. All right? This one's gonna make some people mad, but it is a firm belief, at least what's the most optimal. Some of you are past this point, that's okay, we'll work with you. All right? But if you can, build your audience before you start selling. Many of us, we launch our product and then we say, people aren't showing up. I thought it was build it and they shall come. That movie liked me. And so now I need to go to them. And you start creating content, and half of it, it's not following the 80-20 mix, it's half, is you saying, buy my stuff. If it's at all possible, if you can take a break, because most of us are doing this as side gigs anyways, that money's not really working for you anyways, take a break from trying to earn money and start earning attention. Start earning your audience. Start earning trust. Because that's going to turn into dollars a lot faster because you're building something authentic rather than starting with, hey, I have something for you. Please buy from me. All right? Tools. We're almost done here, about to be in the Q&A. So this is the last thing. Buffers. Buffer helps you distribute content across multiple platforms. All right? My wife loves this. She hates social media. Okay? So instead of going on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and posting them individually, she uses Buffer. All right, meme generator, I love this. I made the cleric meme on there. It tells you all the latest memes. It updates automatically. And it'll show you the ways that the memes is being used. And you can plug in your own words. All right, Giphy, just an easy place to find GIFs. Musical.ly down is if you have TikTok, all right, like I do, I put my TikTok link into Musical.ly down. It takes away the TikTok watermark, which many algorithms suppress, so that you can post it onto Facebook Reels and YouTube Shorts and get better interactions. All right? Canva, as I've said, the free version, it is so amazing for image creation. The free version can get you really, really far. All right? Watch YouTube tutorials for anything you don't know. Grammarly is just spell checking and grammar. All right, and with that, we're at the Q&A section. I forgot to update this slide. This used to be a Kickstarter slide. All right, how much time do we have, by the way?
Like half an hour.
We have half.
No, 20.
I'm so good.
20 minutes.
I'm proud of myself. I see a hand in the back. Go ahead.
What do you think is the most forgiving platform to start off?
I would say Twitter. Twitter, because it is the most forgetful platform. All right. Now, of course, you can be on the wrong side of Twitter. It's Reddit. It's Diet Reddit. Okay. All right. By the way, least forgiving platform, Reddit. They will say, if you are trying to build a sales pitch, build it on Reddit, because they will tear you down. They will make you question your existence. You will call your mother crying. Okay. I have years of marketing experience. I posted something on Reddit, and they're like, I'm sorry, why do you deserve to breathe? Why are you talking to me and trying to sell me something, you huckster? I'm like, no, I'm free, you know? If you're trying to build something, build it on Reddit. Most, least we have it. Twitter is forgotten. You can literally tweet every 40 seconds, and that's fine. Twitter is so fast that people forget it so fast. It's moving at a million miles an hour. That you can get all, the concept that I use regularly is called getting all your suck out. Anytime you're trying something new, you suck at it, all right? And you just need to get it all out in order to be good at it, All right? I sucked at TikTok when I started. It took about 100, 200 videos for me to stop sucking at it. All right? So Twitter, great place to get your suck out because you can get through a couple hundred tweets easy. All right? Great question. Anyone else? Right here.
Have you experimented with using ChatGPT for prompts for ideas?
I did. Not successfully, but during the holidays, I asked, give me 10 ideas for a Christmas-themed D&D weapon. Sure. All right? I tweeted those out. I threw on the typical hashtags. Not a lot of engagement. I did have to edit some things, you know? And it wasn't giving me a lot of engagement. However, AI, this is the worst it's ever going to be. It only gets better and scarier from here. All right? So hopefully there's potential for that to get better. But right now, it wasn't really working for me, but I was only using it one way, and there's a million ways to use it. And I'm not giving a presentation on AI for a reason. I'm not an expert at it. But good question. Next.
Yep.
So the Kickstarter, I have a lot of questions. Let's start with Kickstarter.
Yeah.
As far as, do you have a general timeline as far as pre-launch, and then how much you're posting, and making sure that when you have an audience that may have a comedy bend or a general content, how do you balance the shilling of your Kickstarter during that month without it being overwhelming or obnoxious?
So one is try for that 80-20 mix. For every 10 times you talk about a new post, two of them can be about that Kickstarter. Okay? It's platform specific. I would say you can do that less on Facebook. All right? Because the people who are on Facebook, if you post 10 times within a week, they might only see those two that were about you. All right? So that's a little bit different from platform to platform. As far as how much time you need, how much are you looking to raise is a question. Because the more you're looking to raise, if it's a lot of time. All right, and so, for example, probably just for burnout's sake, not more than 60 days do you want that pre-launch page up. All right, be collecting emails. Emails are the unsung hero, okay? For example, we all have seen Twitter has become a crap storm, Twitch has become a crap storm. All right, when you hold all your audience in one particular area, you're vulnerable, all right? But Gmail is probably never going to just decide to not send your emails. Okay, you're always vying for attention. You can post something that should get. This is something frustrating. I have 7,000 followers on Facebook. If I post something, I only get like 200 views at the beginning because it needs to kind of pass an engagement threshold for the algorithm, right? But I have 7,000 people who said they want to hear from me. Dang it, show me the 7,000 people, right? That's not the way the algorithm works. But if I have a 7,000 email list, Google isn't going to only deliver it to 7 of them. See how they engage with it, and then deliver it to the rest of them. It delivers it to all of them, and now I'm only competing with the people in their inbox, which is, generally speaking, much less than the billions of content online. Emails are an unsung hero. Yes?
What's the best method that you found to collect emails to get people to share their emails?
Surveys.
Okay.
Boop. So, what I'm going to do today, I'm going to give you this this little thing here, all right? Whenever I launch a Kickstarter project, I do a survey, and I say, tell me how I did so I can improve. By the way, if you want to hear about our next project, sign up for our email list. This highly qualifies your email list because it's people who have already invested time in you, money in you, and their feedback in you, all right? If you follow this QR code, you're going to go to a little slide, all right? It's going to ask for your name and email address so I can send you all the materials from today. And it will ask you if you want to join my email list.
Done.
All right? Thank you. Because guess what? In 2025, I'm going to have a book titled Micro Kickstarters, all right, where I talk about how I went from selling $1 poems to selling my wife's book at a $7,000 funding goal, how I've raised over $10,000 on Kickstarter in total. All right? In 2025, I'm building the email list for that. I'm qualifying my audience. All right? So surveys are the number one way. We'll get to it. The secondary way is if you haven't created something like a Kickstarter, all right, most people do what's called a magnet, okay? So I'll use literature for an example. A reader's magnet is like, first chapter for free, just sign up for the email list, all right? Get this exclusive content for free, just sign up for the email list. It's a little less qualified than the way I do it, but it still gets you something underneath you. By the way, if you have an email list, you do not need an email newsletter. I don't have an email newsletter. I bother people when I have something to say. I do not hassle them constantly. All right? I'm sorry, you had a question.
What do you have running your email list? Is that like MailChimp or what?
I have it on an Excel spreadsheet.
So you send them yourself?
I send them myself. Because...
Like, will Gmail come
from
back?
Gmail?
Yeah. Okay,
yep. Make sure you BCC, blind, carbon, copy. Okay? Because if you CC, then everyone can see everyone's email. That's sketchy. Okay? I don't want to see everyone's email because now I have your email list. That's sketchy. Okay? I haven't set up something like a MailChimp simply because I still have a full-time job and kids. I'm not at the size where I feel like I need that. There does come a time where you want that because it'll show you things like open rates. And if you have people that aren't engaging with your emails ever, you want them off your email list. Because if you have like 400 people on your email list and 200 of them never open your email over the past 10 emails, Google might mark you as spam. So you want to remove them. So I'm not at that level yet for me. All right, but that is something where that's where I see MailChimp as really useful. Yes.
So follow up, does that make your email content basically plain text / like markup? Like
I do completely plain text, no formatting, no. This is an area where I think I could do better.
Right.
I could have it look a little prettier because I'm now on email lists and I know the ones I like to look at and the ones I don't.
Right.
And I realize it's an area where I can do better. Right. But going back to what can I do sustainably,
yeah.
I want to learn that. It is on my top five things I want to learn next. Mm-hmm. All right? But I'm not doing it right now. You had something.
Yeah. For example, let's say I'm learning my game. Your experience or statistics show like return on investment if I pay content creators to promote my game via ad or a whole video. Do you recommend that or is
it's an experimentation thing? Okay, so for one of my Kickstarters, I spent $200 on podcasts, and each of them I gave them their own link. Kickstarter allows you to create specific links that you can give specific people so that you can track how well they delivered and delivered you backers. All right, I spent $200. I made $30 from very small podcasts, okay? Now, there's a reason for this, is that just because you're listening to a podcast, if I had a podcast, they'd probably have gone over more. But I wasn't watching a podcast, I was watching completely digital TTRPG material. All right, so that's not a lot of crossover. Also, the person who did back it was one of the podcast owners. So for me, it didn't pay off, and that's why I'm saying to definitely try it, because everyone's got different mediums and there's a lot of different outlets. I didn't try blogs, I didn't try getting on people's newsletters, I didn't try other forms of media, just the podcast. But now I know that this medium doesn't work for my medium, for what I'm trying to sell at this moment, and I can cross it off the list. But it's advertising when you're first starting out is A/B testing with a little bit of gambling, okay? So never gamble with more than you're willing to lose, okay? Way in the back.
So, have you done anything with SMS?
No. That's definitely an area. It's not in my top 10 for me because I feel like I need email before I try something like SMS. It's not something that I'm particularly comfortable with, but it's definitely something that in the long term is worth learning. Yes.
Going back to the Kickstarter thing where that gentleman was talking about 60 days ahead, do you send like a message to, say, boardgamegeek.com?
Yes. Okay, so querying is very easy. For example, I've been on a number of podcasts. Okay, so I write up a template. This is where you can actually use ChatGPT really easily, is say, act as an email professional, as an email marketing professional, and write me an email to reach out to podcasters or to news outlets in the gaming community, all right, using this information. And that's what I used to start, and then I reformat it from there to fit, and then you just kind of go through, everyone should have a media page or a contact page, and you can reach out to them. I usually start with my audience, then I start with people who are kind of audience adjacent, like podcasts and stuff, but I actually haven't, and again, it's just consistency and what am I able to do. I haven't been reaching out to major news media outlets like that. Or by major, I mean industry, news media outlets like that. So I unfortunately don't have a lot of experience with what works. On the podcast side, message 20 people, 10 of them will reach out to you to interview on their podcast. All right? It's fair. That looks pretty easy. I saw hands almost go up while I was talking. Did anyone else have anything else?
Yes. So if you have a new project, and you talked earlier about those personal connections, making those connections. If you're working under like a group name,
yes,
is it okay to be connecting with that group name versus your own name, like as an individual?
Yes. So if you're working with a group name,
or is there a benefit or drawback for either?
Okay. So I will say this: it's always best if you can connect as yourself. For some of us have heard of Jamie Stegmaier of Stonemaier Games, okay? This is something that I learned from him, okay? He's Jamie Stegmaier, which means that he can work on as many projects as he wants because he didn't build his platform around Stonemaier. He didn't build his platform. I started off when I started Kickstarter, I was Beta Games, okay? That means nothing, you know? And if I want to do other stuff that's not games, all right, I'm highly restricted. Even with Applewhite Games, I'm going to have to rename it to Applewhite Publishing because now we're doing books. All right, being yourself offers you more opportunity. Now, if you're stuck in the group aspect, the two things you need to watch for is either A, you need to all be very in on that voice, all right, or B, just sign like dash T, okay, so that you can have a little bit of ownership, okay? So like, let's say you're sharing a Kickstarter page, you're applying to messages. On your Kickstarter page, you should have a creators thing. Just sign dash Jake, dash Steve, dash Sally, all right? So that you're allowed to have your own voice and your own name on things and still work within the group. Yes?
I just wanted to follow along with that because there's a company I follow. There's one guy who's, forgive my language, complete prick. And every time he signs something, I just skip his stuff automatically because... Well, he gives the worst, crappiest answers to simple questions. It's like, if you want to drive me away, keep talking. But everybody else in the team is just great.
Now you won't be held accountable for that guy.
Right.
All right, yes.
I'm so hung up on email.
Yeah.
People who don't want to call
them. Okay, so for my wife's email, she's actually going a lot more because she's done in-person events. And at in-person events, you're much more likely to convert on emails. All right. Here go this. Okay. All right. So for her, she's running at, I think, 200. I'm running at just under 200. She's probably approaching 300. And it's really, for me, it's going to be one of those things where, like, oh, no, when it's time to use an email platform to help me because I won't be able to do it anymore.
Okay.
I'm not at that point yet. So.
Can you send out all 200 of them as one email?
As one email. I usually say, like, greetings, adventurers. It's your friendly neighborhood marketer, Zach Applewhite. All right? And then I try to end it with something catchy, like, may the force damage be with you, even though it's corny and stupid. All right? So I personalize it to me, even if I can't personalize it to the person. It's better in the long run to have that little optimization of being able to include their name, but I'm willing to sacrifice that optimization for my own personal balance and mental health.
So I have a 50-person group that I sent an email to, and it was a catastrophic failure.
Yeah.
Email sent. So.
Yeah. So that's you're gonna learn. Okay. I've already told you I sucked at a lot of things before I got good. It's part of the process. All right. So you sucked at email once. All right. You might have to suck at email 10 times. You'll get it. Okay. All right. Anyone else? What time are we at? I don't want to run over too much.
6 minutes.
Woo! We got 6 minutes. All right. Anybody else? Yes?
I really love writing administrative emails, but I'm also on the creative writing team of this project.
Uh-huh.
How do you balance that creative and administrative labor in a way that doesn't leave you unable to do either thing?
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is actually a better question for my wife, because my wife is a writer. She's also amazing at process. Okay, if you haven't gotten the gist, I'm ADHD, okay? I'm terrible at process. I'm easily distracted. And it's definitely something that would be better for her. What I'll say that I've observed she does, okay, is that if she needs to be a different person for a different thing, she literally sits somewhere different. That's her hack. Her hack is if I'm at this desk, this is the writing desk. Okay, if I'm in this chair, I'm a mom. Okay, this is the mom chair. All right, and if I'm up in bed, this is potato. All right, And if I'm at the table, this is professional. You know? And so she gets to be a different person by just kind of giving herself different signifiers. This can be a different time of day. This can be a different seat. This could be you're working on a different device. For example, she'll only work on her laptop if she's writing. All right? She'll work on other things on her tablet. Okay? So that works for her. Maybe it'll work for you. I wish I had something more concrete for you. Yes?
To build on that a little bit, I think it's brilliant, your idea of doing exactly that as a way to help a starting out person deal with imposter syndrome. Who's cool is going to be?
That's great in itself. So what she just said for anyone who just wasn't able to hear her is that to help with imposter syndrome, you don't have to think that you're great. You have to think your character is great. If you're a writer, people are, you know, it's not about how much, what's so great about me? It's what's so great about your character? Why are they listening to your character? All right, to kind of touch on imposter syndrome, all right, is that when I started out, when I was writing poems, I was writing haikus while I was delivering pizza. Okay? Just white male audacity. Okay? Like, if an idiot like me, I didn't have an English degree, I started writing poems while I was delivering pizza because I was bored and my radio was broken. Okay? That's it. That and audacity. My wife got into TTRPGs. Here's a funny story. The first D&D material I made with a couple of schmoes on Twitter. The art sucked. The maps sucked, and I did the writing, so it sucked. We made $300. My wife said, hold my beer. Okay? Because she saw three idiots on Twitter, all right? She said, I can do better art, I can get incarnate and make better maps, and I sure as hell can write better than my husband. $500 later, she had her first TTRPG, just me and her. Okay? Just because I showed her that she could, and because it doesn't matter, the market will tell you how valuable you are. The market will tell if you're worth listening to. Okay? And in the beginning, no one's worth listening to. Alright? Because you're getting your suck out. Eventually, you'll learn enough on a platform, you'll learn enough about your craft, and you'll learn about how to communicate it in a way that people find valuable, and that's the proof. That's the proof by doing it. Okay? Anything else before I let you all go? Sweet!
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you all for coming. Sign up for that. And I will email you the recording, the audio, the slides, everything will be emailed to you.
Nice work. Hey! See you around. Yep, I gotta stop.